ABC Radio Darwin.
Anybody who remains behind in Dili, they will be killed. Houses will be burned. If East Timor is to be independent, it will have nothing. It will be starting from scratch.
If the Australian government is listening, do you have a message for them?
Get some help quick.
20 years on, ABC Radio Darwin remembers Timor-Leste's struggle for independence.
We knew what we were flying into. We knew that the militias were building up and being led by Indonesian commanders. We knew that people at the villages had already been attacked and killed and raped and things like that over the last while by militias. And we also knew that the Timorese wanted to vote yes, even though they were threatened that they were going to get killed if they did that. So we knew that a lot of people planned to run to the mountains straight after the referendum. We didn't go over as a group as such. We sort of asset that group. It's a very loose group. It didn't have a leader. It was just who we were. And it's a name that we used for protest. We more or less went over as individuals, even though we happened to be asset. And there was a group of women who went over as well. So that we're a foreign presence in Timor, because historically less violence does happen in the places if there are foreigners there, because the foreigners then can report it from the outside world.
So that's why you decided to fly over before the election?
Oh, yeah, that's why. It was to be a foreign presence, and we drove around the mountains. We had some voting carts with us because it was in the Indonesian government and their militias' interest if people were afraid or didn't know how to vote or whatever. So we actually wanted to take around some voting cards, but we found that the resistance, as in the Timorese mob, they'd already got voting cards out to all the villagers. We didn't find any that didn't know how to vote. They all knew, and they were all waiting for that voting day.
What were the Timorese being told?
Well, Timorese people were very used to living in the shadow of fear, and the Indonesian police all the time tortured, arrested, disappeared, or tortured and raped women as torture. This was just normal life there for 25 years. So the threat was a bit worse, because it was like, if you say yes, we are just going to decimate the place. And also the Timorese at that point were unarmed. Palantir, the guerrillas, had been told by their commander, Shinana, to put down the weapons to make sure that there wasn't any fighting. That was months before that. So all these atrocities that were happening, you know, people getting killed and mutilated by these militias.
Let's go to the day of the vote. Some excitement amongst the Timorese on that day. Can you describe?
Yeah. Look, I'll actually go to the night before the vote, because it was extremely special. Hundreds and hundreds of people were camped, of course, because they planned to vote early the next morning and run to the mountains so they wouldn't be killed, dreaming into the light. And that night we were walking around, people were in their tents, playing guitars, everybody was singing, and the feeling, it was absolute courage. It was like the last stand, if you know what I mean. It was like the night before battle, except that the Timorese people had put down their arms some time ago. So it was a one-sided battle. And they were fighting with their vote to vote yes. They were fighting with their will. They knew they would get chased, killed. So that night was extremely special. And I can feel it now. I'm just filled with fear, worry, anxiety.
Yeah.
But really overwhelmed by the courage. Yeah, and it was beautiful sitting down, chatting to them, singing with them. Of course, they all loved us because we were foreigners there to support them. So it was a beautiful night. Machine gun fire in the distance. Anyway, in the morning, I got up. There was already thousands and thousands of people in great big long queues. Again, it was like just before a battle, and you know that a lot of you are going to be dead.
You started filming the Indonesian militia during that time. What are your memories of what happened next?
Me, Jude and Andrew had been arrested by the police at a roadblock. Got out my video camera and sort of stood out from the car and was starting to film them. and they all pointed their machine guns at us, and I heard this. That's my memory. It was like...
So in the back of a police van at night, you must have been scared for your safety or your life.
We were absolutely petrified.
Yeah.
We had been dealing with Timor for years and years, and we know what police do, and we know about people getting thrown over cliffs and machine guns down and tortured and raped and all of that. So because the police were the ones taking us, of course, we were fearful, you know.
Well, you ended up getting deported to Kupang. Is that where you heard the result of the vote?
Yeah, but we were with the police. The vote was yes, so we knew, OK, the killings are the start in earnest now. It had already been bad for a few days. But all the police, we were a bit surprised or bemused because all the police were absolutely shocked. They had been told that the Timorese people didn't want independence, and I don't know how they believed it, but they did.
What about reflection now?
Well, the UN had always known if there was a yes, that there would be absolute violence in Timor and thousands of people would be terrorised. Timor was left for, I forget how many weeks it was, I think it was 3+ weeks of absolute terror and thousands of lives were lost. In retrospect, yeah, I was traumatised. I actually crawled into a hole for a few days at first, and the only thing that helped when I crawled out of my little hole was Timorese mob. You know, I've got some very, very close friends, like family, in Darwin, and also the AFET mob too. They were running an information stall, and it allowed me to do something. It's not just from the referendum, it's from the whole, from those years and years of working with torture photos, for example, of dealing with the information, of working, of interviewing and listening to stories of rape and torture and massacres. You know, a whole village, all the men massacred, and the children, of course, all the kids, everyone massacred in the village who were male. You know, stories like that, and then going to those villages, you know, that's what it was about. It was about the 25 years finally coming to an end, but it's really hard for Timor. It's been struggling to get back on its feet. You know, the people are poor still, and you're still getting over the war. You know, you don't get over a war in 1 year.
No, you don't.
Probably, it might take a generation or two or longer.
ABC Radio Darwin.